Let's talk about your NBA career, man. You were known as a defensive player. You had to guard some of the toughest players in the league during your time. If you had to give me your top three dudes who were the hardest to lock up, who would it be?
I wish I could say him, but not. Not.
Because you locked me up.
You had no problem with Gil?
No.
Basically, I had no problem with Gil.
I had one encounter with Gil. Hubie Brown threw me on him. Gil's super hot. I go in there, and I guess Gil was came to Memphis, really was not really interested. Hold Gil to his career low. But what he does is, he sees me turning up, then like, all right, I'm going to have 60 on y'all next time. So now I'm like, shit. And Hubie runs a zone on him the next game because Gil took it personal. But I just happened to be extra motivated because I wasn't playing, and Gil really was probably looking at me like crazy. So, and Gil really didn't like that much contact. So a physical person like me is probably going to be the one that he don't want to deal with, but it wasn't that many guys that really wanted to be physical and probably was athletic. So Gil could do whatever he wanted to. But I had more to gain from that game than Gil did.
Man, he was one of the defenders, like, because you got to remember, if you look at comments on everyone hated him as a defender.
That's fine. Yes, they're supposed to.
You're doing your job.
He didn't do team defense stuff, right? So you know how, I know, like,
he knows rotations and stuff, what I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah. No, I'm not. Because it's my job for you not to get the ball. So, like, shut down corner? Yeah, I'm going to be a shut down corner and you not getting the ball. If I'm strong enough that if you get a ball up, you're not getting it back. And Gil's like, no, you're not strong enough, Gil. Weight room, you're not weight room strong yet. Like, you don't care about the weight room at all. And then he get frustrated and then he loses his mind because his teammate out. Cool. But my top five, probably the hardest to guard, were, not in any order, Vince Carter.
Okay.
Because Vince, probably the most talented basketball player I've ever played in my entire life. He can do everything any of your favorite scorers could do. Was the most athletic person you probably ever see in your entire life. But he was just such a great person. So if Vince is having a bad day, you're in trouble. But he's usually having a great day. And he's ready to laugh and be cordial with you. So my defense for that, tell some jokes.
Tell some jokes.
So like, but he was shooting at the hash mark when he get hot. Like, he could really shoot the ball. He could get downhill. He's long. Like, he could do whatever he wanted to. So now, like, I just got to keep you in a jovial, like, manner to be able to stop you because he's such a great person. But he was the hardest once he was, like, locked in.
Once you make him mad.
Yeah, he's mad. You really ain't doing nothing with him. Bron. Same way, Bron controls the whole game. Like, that's strong, fast Bron. I remember I hit Bron on a break one time, and I am not a weak individual, but I put everything I had to, and I bounced off him like a little kid. Like, so they said, like, you're dirty. Nah, some of these people are really, really strong, and you have to, like, take them out because you get a line between getting and-one'd and taking them out. Like, and you get in trouble if they score. So, like, you're just trying to stop the play, and you may be too strong. But, like, Bron, once he locks in and is coming downhill, he used to be hell off the ball with his, like, backdoor cuts and things of that nature. Like, when he wants to lock in, you're at his mercy. Then after that, Cole, but the triangle made it so tough to push in places. So, like, one-on-one, they put you on islands. He gets every foul call. But he's super gifted too, like, not taking anything away from him, but he gets all the calls. He's gifted. He was going to complain and try and get every last he get out the ref. He got full control over every ref available. But then they keep you on an island, so you can't really push him to his weaknesses if he played the game with his so cerebrally that, like, I could stay in front of him on the perimeter. So he'd turn his back to me. My post defense was, like, where I would struggle a little bit with him. So he may either go all post or He knew my schedule of minutes blocks. So some coaches do you by minutes. So he knew after the first 8 minutes, all right, you coming out. Come on, JR. Come on, Anthony Carter. Come get some of this. Like, I'll just pass for this time. I ain't gonna wrestle with you. You coming out any minute.
Yeah,
okay, sub, cool. Now I'm going to work. And then he had no conscience too. So he could miss 10 straight shots. And most people are like, get a little shaky. Not shooting anymore. I remember when he did get hurt the game in Atlanta, he started the game off like 0 for 10. in the first quarter and made his first bucket 1-for-11 in the first quarter. And he was not rattled whatsoever. He
finished with like 31 or something, I remember.
Finished with 31. I remember going out in the second quarter. Kyle Korver came in, some other people came in, and like he was under control a little bit. The third quarter where he went on a tear, he did made like 8 straight shots or something like that. So then now, all right, get him, Tay. Okay, cool. I did my job early, but now I can't play. Okay, now I got him. He makes a shot. Then you may get him to take some shots he don't want to take. He misses 3, misses 4. Next thing you know, you in a full ISO situation for game. You're like, oh man, like this is what you wanted your whole life. And at that point in time, I had never been gamed before. So it was like, it was a lot going on, a lot riding on this situation. Like I've had a lot of ISOs, 3-2-1 type situations. Nobody had ever scored on me. So like I probably was, well, once again, more locked in than he cared at that point in time. You got 2 chains on the side, yelling, like. And he go for the fadeaway. I'm just trying to get as close so he can't see it. Like, that's all I wanted to do. Because what he didn't know at that point in time is, like, I've always been a super fan of Kobe. Like, Kobe's a year ahead of me. Like, all the stuff you hear about he was doing at ABCD. Like, all the rumors you hear about Kobe, I'm from Jersey, Philly right there. Like, you hear all of this. You trying everything he does. Like, been a fan in college. Idolized him and Ray Allen and Jordan. So if I wasn't trying to hurt that man, like, that's the last kind of person I would really try to hurt. I'd be more excited to play in a situation like that. But he ends up getting hurt, and it's like, it went somewhere it didn't have to go. But he was like one of, like, he's not number one, because I still say Vince gave me more problems, but he'd probably be 2, him and Bron, 2-3. Who else? I don't. I used to get on Paul Pierce's nerves. He used to be so mad. Like, me and Paul be ready to fight. I got a tech in street clothes because Paul would be so mad at me from a game before. And like, I just run my mouth. And like, Paul be mad at me most of the time.
Wants to fight you.
But yeah, because I'm not going nowhere. And I'm very physical. So like, you got to deal with it or not. Steven Jackson, Jack, who would you be on a tear by that time? You just make him laugh. Mm-hmm. And Jack could get out of there. I remember Steve Nash. I always thought I could rip him. You can't never. Like, it seemed like he out there just, you could get it, you can't get it. You can't get it. You pressure him, nope.
Did you have to guard AI?
Not really. Yeah. But I remember guarding him one time, like, oh, yeah, he's fast as they say he is. Okay, he's real.
One of those, hey.
Yeah, it's real. Okay. Anybody, out of those two, anybody after that, you got anybody else? T-Mac didn't want to, I didn't really have a problem because T-Mac was finesse. He didn't like contact. So like, once again, if you get into him, he'd be like, I'm cool today. Like, I wait this one out. So I got 3 other games with it. People let me run around. So I didn't really.
Because that's what I said. It wasn't.
I ran into Seattle Ray Allen. And Flip Murray, when they were on that tear.
Boy, yes.
And that's probably how I got my first minutes by guarding Flip, because Flip was on a tear. And I got to be physical with Flip and put him in like, get him, young fella. Cool. And then Flip was like, man, get this motherfucker off me, man. But cool, but like Ray Allen was tough back then.
Shit, I mean, you Dirk, gave us.
If you switch on to fours, like you just can't get to it. Like he's gonna get to that fade, put his knee in your chest. That's tough.
He didn't go by logic though. That's like that's what makes it frustrating for a scorer. Like we study defense, right? So like I pass it, that has to jump, right? So I know what he's supposed to do. He never did it. And that's what frustrates. That's what frustrates. Because, like, I pass it. You're supposed to jump. You're supposed to. That person got the ball. Get your ass in there. Get ready to take this charge. Right? Do one of those. No. He going to stay right here. Look at you. Grass him with your grab. Like,
I never got him touching me.
He wasn't touching me right now.
KD was young. Kawhi was young.
You probably had Michael Redd.
Mike is more chasing. Bump people off screens. Rip was more chasing. Bump people off screens. Like I'm physical, so I could like push you off screens, stuff like that. Didn't really bother me. Guys that like to post, really probably gave me guard. But Bonzi
Bonzi probably,
Bonzi would give me a little bit of trouble, but I had to deal with him in practice. So like, Bonzi would give me a lot of trouble.
But he liked physical.
Because he liked physical. So like everything I'm giving, he like, yeah, give it to me. And he responded all physical. Mm-hmm. I had to guard D. Rose for a playoff series. I had to guard Chris Paul for a playoff series.
Dan Williams said he wanted to fight you, so obviously you frustrated
him. Darren didn't like contact. And what, and...
But did these dudes really want to fight?
No, Darren wants to fight him.
Okay, so Darren, what he said made me laugh, because he ended up being my partner, because when we played on the Cavs, like, I hung with Darren every day, and he was like, you know what, I really wanted to kill you at one time. Okay, cool. But...
Darren, this is the face you get. But
Darren used to be rocking people. I'm like, I ain't getting rocked. You ain't gonna embarrass me. Uh-huh. So he got by me one time and I tripped him. And that might be the worst thing for a guard, because you fall on your knees. Like, to get tripped and slide across the floor, that's bad. So when I tripped him, it kind of made him so mad. Like, I kind of clipped him. And I saw it got to him, so then I just kept with the clipping at that point. Because my job is to get things done.
That was like, kind of your thing. But, I mean, because... I think about Kobe and like the West Finals in 09, okay. The same, you know, the so, same okay. little joint.
Kobe on the Western Conference Finals. People have made a block of like four plays to be an all-out assault on Kobe. Number one, with George Karl, that's my guy, but my job, he had hits out on people. It was like wanted posters. Okay, you get, if I get a flagrant one, we paying it. If you don't get a flagrant one, you ain't doing your job. Like, you getting cussed out for, like, layups. Like, we were bruisers, so, like,
yeah, for sure.
You ain't coming in our paint. First and foremost, you come in the paint, you got to sit down. And they allowed it at that point in time. So, like, we had first round was Chris Paul. Chris Paul, me and Kenyon just jumped in, physical, waiting, physical. CP ain't talking for, like, 2 years. Because it was just so physical, but that was our job. Like, we got to get the ball at your hands. We knew that once you trying to jump out of 6'6 and 6'9, put some wood on you. Mm-hmm. Like, we gonna make you quit. Dirk, the next round, had to quit. Then you get the Kobe. And Kobe with everything. But, as I said before, I got a lot of respect for him, so I'm coming in respectfully. But he don't really care about you. So, while he doesn't want to be touched, he likes to do a lot of touching. Mm-hmm. He like to elbow you in your face, and he like to push you to get open, and like... Which is all part of the game, I'm not mad at, but then he complained to the refs, you can't touch him. One play, when I tripped him, I remember denying him to get the ball open. His teammate didn't give it to him, so he was mad at him. So he swung it, and, no, I apologize, it was side out of bounds. I'm denying him, he elbowed me in my Adam's apple. So when that closes up on you, like, you can't breathe, now I'm mad. And I'm a person that believes in get back. So he swung the ball and he tried, and the shot went up. He tried to get by me. And as not being able to breathe, I was like, nah, get back here. I'm done with this. Like, I want that foul. They didn't call it. I was like, oh, I got away with it. Cool. He's livid, never said a word to me. That's one block. But we've been fighting for games here now, like four games prior. Now we in the Western Conference Finals, everything's on the line. You didn't elbow me in my throat. I don't know if y'all have been elbowed in y'all throat before, but it kind of really hurts. So I clipped him. You're right. And then we had, then.
I've
guarded thousands of possessions. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like that's, I only had one possession on and I tripped him. Mm-hmm. He elbowed me in my throat, I had to get back. I couldn't get my hands on him. I got it. I feel like I got it. If they called a foul, yeah, I did that. I did it. I did it on
purpose. See, he's strong enough to
what?
He's strong enough to eye clip somewhere and
I just couldn't get my hands on him.
Never again.
I blacked out. I blacked out for half a second. I couldn't get my hands on him. I wanted my get back. Got it back. Cool. Then there's another one. I pushed him in the back. Right? And our rule was, like, no dunks and no layups. So I thought I was doing the right thing. I swear I thought I was doing the right thing. Because he beat me for the first kind of time, like where I see the back of his jersey. Mm-hmm. I got two options. Take his head off because he can't see me. Like, when he gets in the air, like, I swipe and just take him out. Mm-hmm. Or push him before he even jumps. So you see me, I just push him, and he never gets in the air, and he feels like he's disrespected. But I can't give up layups because I lose money. I get fully disrespected in timeouts. Like, they had me so wound up. Chauncey, Kenyon, George had me so wound up and so frustrated. They were on my ass at all points in time. So if he'd have got a dunk, I'm getting cussed out by Big Shot. Big Shot fully cussing me out. Why you ain't fouling? Why you ain't do this? But I take all the embarrassment when I do something wild. So I'm taking it from my teammates and he and me and him in the full scrap. So I pushed him in the back so that he didn't get hurt. Like, he didn't get in the air and I didn't take him out the air. Because that was my responsibility at that point in time. And then the other one is where he gets hurt on the last second shot. But I had guarded him for 32 minutes of a game. And if you're going to hurt somebody, you're going to hurt him in the beginning of the game? I'm going to do the first play.
You're going to do the minute one.
I'm not going to play with you. You embarrass me for 32 minutes. If I'm going to really hurt you, I got it on my mind. I'm not going to wait till the end to hurt you.
You know what I think I'm going to do?
Did I ever hurt you, though?
No, I need to go back and watch the film to see how dirty he was. Because there's no reason I had three regularly. I naturally three.
And then, no. But how this came about,
he must have been
in the weight room before, and I was like, yeah, I lock all that up. Gil ain't going to never talk to me crazy. He was like, no, let me see when I played you. And he went and said, oh. Oh, you did? I was like, yeah, I told you. I locked that shit up.
But I never really,
mind you, I'm playing hard, I'm aggressive. Like, all that's come from a good place. Kobe was like, I lived and died by Kobe.
His youngest son played the same way.
No, my youngest son, well, yeah, my middle son.
They rock.
The middle son.
They rock heads.
He is a little aggressive. He ain't got control of his body yet. The mother son don't want to play with him.
But he's a little strong. He's just a little strong, bully.
Yes.
But even in college, remember, just beast. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like he's on the weight program. Okay,
college. So I had some runners in college. Cool. But we so close that we talk crazy to each other on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of stuff going on. Like, Carolina and NC State, a lot of stuff going on off the court that you don't know about on the court. Like,
were y'all hanging out? And that's the thing I don't think people realize.
We all went to the same barbershop.
Okay.
So you could, like, and we got the same barbers. Okay. So while they getting tickets to the game, but they kind of keeping stuff going. Oh, you know what? Rashad McCann just left here. You know, he said he gonna do to you. Uh-huh. But then you could have been in there last week with him sitting right here. He talking crazy, like, uh-huh. Oh yeah, we coming. It's okay, cool. I'm a senior, you a freshman? I got too much pride.
So was there ever any beef with, like, barbers giving them better haircuts or who's charging more, who's tipping, like?
Because they wanted tickets to all the games. They didn't care about that one game. They had
bald headed.
No, I had hair back there. Check the. I had a full set of waves.
Don't do me like that.
Do me like that. 360. Don't do me like that.
Ever since I know he's bald headed.
Don't do me like, yeah. Stuff changed. I got older. But it's a lot going on at that point in time. But we competed, man. Physical has always been my nature, competing. If I got to take a hard foul, take a hard foul. Like, I ain't really out there trying to hurt nobody by no means, nah. But I believe in a hard foul, don't get it twisted. Because I grew up watching the Knicks.
For sure.
So, like, Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, like, that's my pop's a Knicks fan. That's my brand of basketball. Like, you get hot going too up, we got to put you down. And we're going to see. We're going to fight. We put you down a little bit. So that's what I grew up watching.
So let's talk about that 2016 Cavs. You come under the squad late. How excited are you? When they signed you, it was like April, right? You come in and you know that you got the opportunity to thwart the greatest team in NBA history in the 73-9 Warriors.
I had just finished a G League season because as a free agent, I just wanted to stay in shape and play and was looking for a call up. Halfway through the season, I was about to just go home and not play basketball anymore, but I was healthy, so I wanted to, like, finish my basketball career out. Like, I had a healthy mind, healthy body. Just wanted to finish playing basketball so I could just, like, close that chapter. Just finish out a year, finish competing. I almost quit. My coach brings me back and was like, listen, just, like, be there for the young guys. Finish the season out. You give them more than you actually know to these guys, so just finish it out. I finished it out. Had 43 my last game, set the record for that team. No, I ain't gonna talk about that. But finished it out, and I was prepared to, like, retire. Honestly and truthfully, like, I was done with basketball, next chapter, so I was in shape. And I think one of my last games was against their G League team, saw Damon Jones, and I was like, yo, what y'all doing with y'all last spot? Like, he was like, matter of fact, you might be cool for it, because we need another wing. He's like, I'm gonna tell T. Lou. Didn't think nothing of it. So I go home. I'm home for a week. But since I love the hoop, I'm playing at, like, the men's club. So I'm playing 3 days a week at the men's club, still in shape, just finished the season. And my agent called, and he was like, yo, the Cavs are thinking about signing you for your last spot. yeah, whatever, man. All right, let me know. So I called T. Lou, and T. Lou was like, yeah, they threw your name on a list of guys. And I told him, like, yeah, like, I really think, like, he'd be perfect for us. So a couple days go by, and then they end up calling and saying, yeah, we need you to come down, like, for our last game to be on the roster. So I had to, like, literally, like, fly in that day, sign my contract, play a game. You're playing damn near 40 minutes of a game, like, on the site to just be eligible for the playoffs. So now it kicks in after that game, like, yo, like, you could be a part of something special. I got a chance to, like, now at this point in time, be Bron's teammate, compete against him because we're in the same draft for, what, 10, 11 years. You hate him. You think he's cheating. You think, like, he a robot. Like, where does he plug in at? Like, all these things that, like, you have a hating spirit because, like, you just can't really beat him or stop him. But now you get to see, like, how this really works. And, like, as much time he puts into preparation. Like, one of the, like, the craziest things that I saw in, like, our first shoot around for our playoff game. And it's a coach's scout. He's going through. And he's like, no, they don't do that. And the coach was like, what you mean? Like, it's an X cut. And he was like, nah, it's more of like a loop cut because back, bang, bang, bang. He already knows their whole playbook. He knows the other team's playbook in a more deeper sense than the coach who scouted was. So, like, he's prepared. Like, he's really prepared. He's really the first person in the gym. He's really one of the last to leave because he's going to do everything possible to take care of his body. He's going to do cold hot tub, he's gonna get a massage, he's gonna get in the cryo chamber. Like, he's really taking care of his body. He really gets his sleep. He really is putting in extra times for conditioning. He's really working out in the morning time. Like, you don't see a superstar that has all these accolades care this much. And now he's like, you know, it's not by, like, chance. It's not like God has his hand on him. He's talented and gifted, but he's actually maximizing what he's been given. So you get to see, and then you got Kai on that team, who I've known since, like, he was a kid. I got a lot of ties, RJ, Channing, Shump, like, guys like you've run into him, you've known over the years, K-Love, James Jones. Like, it's like you know, it's like you're just walking into, like, this big old family of guys that you know already, and they got respect for you, you got respect for them. So, like, now it's a special group because everybody gets along. And the best teams I've been on are guys that, like, they hang together off the court. So as they're collected, you're on the court. So we would go to dinners together. We would have conversations. Like, they know you as more than just your teammate. So usually teams separate into three pods and they usually be at odds with each other and they only talk to each other. Nah, you got Deli and Mozgov at dinner. Like, we all go out as a unit. No, and everybody might not stay for the whole time if we do something after, but, like, they all together. So we had, like, a crazy bond. Of teammates. And then, like, Brown was just, like, super dedicated to everything. Everything was planned out. Meals, time to work. Like, he's diligent about everything he does. So now I have a respect for him. And I just remember about that year, like, my first game in the playoffs now, like, I pulled him over to the side. And I was like, do you see the way he's playing you? You see how they are playing you? He was like, what? So we go over it, and I was like, so because if I was guarding you, I'd do X. And he was like, cool. And he took it and used it. I've been in the G League for the whole year, and I'm talking to the young kids, and they just like, man, screw you, man. Like, whatever. Like, oh, you old. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, they're not listening to nothing. And I'm fighting them for their attention just to teach them things that I just picked up along this journey, and they not really listening to the end. So, like, I'm not used to somebody listening. He was taking every set of information you give him and applying it, no matter who it is. Like, he can take constructive criticism. Remember, him and Tristan got into it one time. And he was like, but Tristan ain't. I was like, but bro, you wrong. Tristan was there. He'll run through a wall for you. You got it. You need to apologize. Goes and apologize. Like, if you hold him accountable, he'll listen. If you give him information, he's taking everything to just be better on a daily basis. That's where, like, the respect came in, because he's a hell of a teammate. He's always prepared. He gives everything he has to winning and being dominant. It's like, okay, it's not by accident that he's considered one of the greatest of all time.
So did they add you to the group chat?
Yeah.
And what did that feel like once you signed?
You're just in it. Like, at that point in time, you're like, you think you got a chance to win a championship, but like, you're like,
But in the group chat, are you coming in with jokes right away?
They already got their rhythm to the group chat. I'm just listening and watching. So I just.
Is it a group chat like?
I still got the group chat.
How our group chat is?
Nah, it ain't one of them. It's a group chat, then it's a side group chat.
The Damon Jones group chat. Okay, so Damon Jones.
So yeah, I'm in the group. It's pods of group chats, but it could go to that group chat. It can go to the other one. But it was all lighthearted fun. Like we had a great team of people that cared about basketball. As you said, like they cared. Basketball was the priority. Mm-hmm. So guys were in there working. JR had gotten a rhythm with Bron and like was prepared and was working. And I've known JR since we were. He's in sixth grade. Like now, you see him fully focused. It was refreshing to see guys like on a real mission that cared about each other. So it was dope.
So now you look at Ty Lue now getting to play for him and now getting to work for him as a head coach. He recently said when he looked at the next wave of black coaches that he wanted to see be head coaches in the NBA. Your name was on that list. So what does that mean to you? And is being an NBA head coach something that you want to do?
It's definitely one of the things I want to do. It meant a lot to me because I have a lot of respect for him, period. That's my friend, but like he's a mentor of mine, period. And we've had a friendship since I was in a senior in high school. Like him and my cousin Al trained together. So I've known him since then. And he's been older than me, so we've gone back and forth, but we've been friends this whole time. And I can remember being in like the first round. So mind you, I thought my friend just got a job. Like, once again, listen to the media. Mm-hmm. Bron wanted T. Lue, and he's just the rah-rah guy. But like, it was a baseline out of bounds. We might be down one, and I'm like, okay, what you got, Lue? Like, you really coaching? And he looked at me like, all right, watch this. Draws the ATO up. Watch, Kai, we're gonna get layup game. We're gonna get an open shot of Kai game. Watch game. And it happened. I was like, oh. You really out here coaching. Like, so then I started paying attention to him being a coach and how prepared he was and like how he could communicate and why it was working. So then like, not only do I have respect for him as a friend, but then I have a professional respect for him, how he can communicate with guys, how he can get guys to do what he needs to do without being the traditional coach of just like, you can do what I'd say or else. Like, it was like, nah, it was a rhythm of like, we work together. This is my job. This is your job. We need each other to win. So now we communicate as coworkers, not as I'm here and you're here and you just do what I say. He doesn't have to have that type of rhythm with the guys. All the guys respect him. Everything comes from the perspective of being a player. So I can't ask you to do something that I never thought I could do too. Like we had conversations with the players about like how to lock in, what we need, what I give you. Like it was a constant rhythm and flow. That helped me on my journey of what I wanted to be as a coach. So now I get to learn from him. And as I said, it meant a lot for me because somebody like I hold in my top tier of coaches that I played for in my entire life. And at that point in time, I thought Coach K was my best coach because he could do it all. He could X and O's, he could do defense, he could do motivation. And like he knew how to get everything out of every guy. Like Coach K is passionate. He's not a yeller to the point where he got to make you get on the line and do everything and like, corporal punishment to do what you gotta do. He communicates well. And T. Lue's up there with that because he can do it all. And it's a natural flow of doing it all. He learns, he's always trying to get better, but communication is at the highlight of it. And it teaches you how you wanna be as a coach. So it meant a great deal for him to put me in that category because he had never spoken to me about that or what he saw. It just came out in an article.
So when you look at this Clipper squad, obviously battling some injuries, hopefully you get Kawhi, PG back, you know, close to full strength as possible. Is this still a championship level squad, in your opinion?
I would ask you guys that because, of course, I'm gonna say that because we got a healthy Paul, we got a healthy Kawhi. Our young guys have a year better. We got one of the best rosters in basketball, like period, point blank. We got two of the best shutdown corners. They both can ISO score, they both can space the floor. We got shooters everywhere. We got guys who can play both sides of the ball. Robert Covington, Nick Batum, Terrence Mann. Like we got shooting in Luke Kennard. We got guys who are stars in their role. They're great people. They love to have fun and they love to just win and play basketball.
What type of point guard you need? You name everybody but a point. What kind of guard?
We obviously at points in time want to add another point guard because we have Reggie Jackson and we have a young in JP who's coming up and learning the role. But some guy that can control the talent that we have. So if we can get a backup point guard or in the sense of just helping us helping us out control when Reggie's off the floor or. Just control the flow of movement, come downhill, make plays. Like that's known that like we had a gap at that spot as like a backup because of injuries and things of that nature. But we would welcome that. If I could envision the best of them, like that's Kyrie? Tough. I can't speak on things of that nature.
No, I can't.
You
know what I'm saying is, well, Kyrie.
It's a thing called tampering.
No, what I'm saying with a talent.
I have nothing to do with that. I can't speak on no other player.
Then you suck.
I do. I can't speak on no other player.
You're trying to get
this
man
fired. Obviously, no, I forgot.
I'm a fan of our
friends, so we talk basketball. We do talk about it. Coaching.
And mind you, and me and him as friends, we like what if X, Y, and Z like to start matching, like free agency and things like that. We go. Would you trade for? Obviously, but the roster that we have constructed today, I think we have the best roster in basketball. Honestly and truthfully, because we not fully healthy. You saw we put that the product we put on the floor. Now our young guys got a chance to be in the hit. Like Zoo got a chance to be out there.
Zubac?
Yeah, and be a step better. Take on switches. Like, he got a chance to do a couple things that he normally wouldn't do if Paul and Kawhi weren't on the floor.
Bro, you became a real Clipper fan, bro.
I definitely am.
You became...
You're getting the bag,
you became like Clipper, Daryl and Wyla, bro. You just became delusional.
How are we delusional? We can go back and forth on this one, bro. And I hate to do this, but before Y got hurt, like, what was you saying then?
Yeah, it was okay.
It was okay?
Yeah, it was the Clippers. We're going to have to treat... You know what? I'm going to have to treat you like a real Clipper fan, bro. Y'all are the Clippers.
What does that mean? We're under new stewardship. You're from Jersey.
It's just like saying...
Our Mr. Ballmer is not the same person that was in there before.
No,
culture and everything that we have going on right now is a total different experience.
I get it.
Because I was a Clipper... At one point in time as well. So it's a total different experience.
I get it.
And you keep taking, and now you acting like a guy in the media where, like, it's gonna always be the Clippers.
This is growing up.
We're ran totally different.
No, this is, you know, in LA, you either a Clipper fan or you a Laker fan.
Right? So you grew up a Clipper fan?
Laker. Kobe Bryant.
Oh, you are one of those front runners. Okay.
No, it's Kobe Bryant.
Oh.
I wasn't Showtime. I wasn't a Showtime. Like I was a Kobe Bryant Laker.
Yeah, I respect
all high school. That's Kobe Bryant. Like that's us. Clippers, your head. Keith Kloss.
I have no recollection of that.
I know he was from Jersey.
I can't. All I know is
Clippers. Let me just get
Keith Kloss.
No. I'm just telling you. Clippers in LA is like being an NBA player wearing New York Knicks gear. Outside of the season.
Not anymore.
You just don't do that.
Not anymore.
You just don't do that. That's what you know damn well. You cannot wear a uniform.
Not anymore.
Outside.
All these historic franchises that you may speak of at this point in time don't have as many consecutive winning seasons as we do.
No, Clipper gear is cool.
Don't move the goalposts.
I'm just saying, it's like...
All these other franchises that you may throw in there, like you just said, New York Knicks.
Is that cool uniform to wear outside of, you know, damn well?
It's a lot of Knicks fans wearing uniform.
Player. If you a New York Knicks player, you wore your outfit outside, you get laughed at. Am I right?
not in New York.
Not everywhere else. Anywhere you were like the you know how you got the
so
logo,
you mean to tell me so only the
sweat logo
so only the Warriors and the Lakers uniforms get play
that's where they got
what uniforms get play outside
everybody else but
come on please get out of here
it's just something about that nobody wears that come on
I don't care what they wear
nobody
I don't care
you remember when you had it on one time and I was like who wears
so you,
that
so you wearing Wizards gear outside.
Huh?
I can't hear you. you wear Gilbert Arenas jerseys outside? No, people ain't wearing them. Whatever, man. Maybe when you was hooping, maybe, but not anymore. You get it. I'm on Instagram with him. You get a couple dudes. I got my Gilbert jersey on. Every now and then, they resurface one. But that's it, man. So you can't, no. We got people y'all wearing Clippers jersey. We got the city on Smash right now. We had injury bug last year.
On is what Smash? How are you letting him disrespect us like this?
Are you guys a fan of a playing tournament? I don't really have an opinion, but
not opposed.
Yeah. Well, how do you? It's just one of those. Just it is what it is.
It just is what it is. Like it's just what you have to deal with out there. But like, I love to hear the opinion of other people because, like, normally if you're an AFC, then you just go be an AFC.
I don't like it for a 7 seed, because a 7 seed from was it 8, 9, 10? A 7 seed from a 10 seed that can be that. If you look in history, that can be damn near 15 games. So why are you allowing a 15-game gap to get a chance to make the playoffs?
It was. That was for kind of our situation. But no, but we were AC. You're right. But
AC to what? 10 seed?
Because we had played 7-8, which is in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And then we had to come play New Orleans.
And New Orleans was? How many games behind?
10?
10. Yeah, that's.
But at that point in time, but mind you, they had made up for their wrongs, and they were playing really well at the end of the year. So that's why it gets a little, it's a little different now. It's a little different now. You could have that team that struggled early, the New Orleans Pelicans got a trade. Now they're grooving a little bit, but their record is not where it was. And that's always been there over time.
You know, you know what I would like?
And they could be good
if
for
If I'm
one.
8 and you're 10 and you beat us, we switch ping pong balls in a draft. Don't give me the AFC ping pong balls, and then I'm not in the playoffs. And 10th is in the playoffs. Now they made the playoffs, plus they get a top 3, 4, 5 pick. No. That's not how that's gonna work.
I guess that's all up for like the creativity of it. I just like we had to play 2 games. We had to win. We had to win 2. We
didn't. Because that's what I'm saying. Because New Orleans is gonna have a better pick than you. Yeah, that's nah. No, we should be able to switch.
Okay.
You'll be the switch.
Switch!
Now we're gonna see if you really wanna make these playoffs.
they have nothing to lose, really, right?
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. Because if you make the playoffs and then you lose that 10th spot,
you make the playoffs,
you don't want it.
And you get a non-playoff ping pong ball.
Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah, you don't want that.
Well, Dante, we appreciate you pulling up, man. This has been a legendary episode of No Chill with Gilbert Arenas, but we'll be back with more very soon.